Chapter 19. Luke felt the wave of hatred flow through him. It was so strong it felt like a kick in the gut, and he wondered for an instant if Jason had perfected some new force attack. But no, the undercurrent was of frustration, helplessness, even fear. It was no attack. It was like a man in his last seconds of life recognizing that fact. And Luke did not hate. He fired again, his laser cannons chipping away at the top of Jason's fuselage as his target, through brilliant evasive flying, kept his attacks from striking a more vital portion of the starfighter. Luke remained calm, reactive, ready to defend, ready to kill. He felt the other two stealth X-wing pairs approach his position. Soon they would be in firing range. Soon this would be over. Shields, then. Kytus disengaged the electronic countermeasures and activated his shields. Since he could not evade detection by his enemies, he would have to elude them for a while. Nor was there any need to maintain calm silence.
Solo to Anakin Solo. I'm under starfighter attack. Get me some starfighter support here now. Bring the Anakin Solo as well.
Tebbutt's smooth, controlled voice answered him.
At once, sir.
Kytus heeled over to commence a sprint back to the capital ship formation, but he could feel Kip and Corrin vector to place themselves in his path, while Luke remained close behind. Kytus stifled a curse. Blast, but they were good, herding him away from his safe haven. If anything, his rage grew. And with each increase in his anger, Alana's sobbing grew louder, her body shaking against his. He could not comfort her.
To comfort her now would be to die.
Juking and jinking, his own skills and force insights making him an unpredictable target, he moved away from the Alliance formation, driven by his pursuers, his maneuvers eating up so much of his speed that he had no chance of outdistancing them. Luke's lasers, sometimes joined by Kip's or Corrin's, came perilously close to him, occasionally brightening his shields and rattling his blur. He became lost in time, lost in his rage, existing in the moment. He could not have remembered his name, only that he had to fly, that he had to protect his daughter. Sweat poured from him. His flight suit had ceased absorbing his sweat long ago. Now it pooled in his boots and drenched his pilot's couch. Then there was intrusion. More presences. Kip and Corrin were suddenly farther away, reducing the number of inbound attacks. Kytus hazarded a glance at his sensor board. It showed a changed battlefield. He was now far away from the Alliance formation. In fact, it no longer was an Alliance formation. The Alliance and Corellian capital ships had merged into a single formation, one in which the antiquated Corellian vessels were taking a horrible beating, but fighting on. Most of the engagement starfighters were away from that zone, the Corellians leading the Alliance away in the distance. Closer, there were Alliance-marked starfighters in Jason's vicinity, trading fire with the stealth X's, tracking them by their laser emissions. As Kytus watched, the stealth X's ceased laser fire. Now they would rely solely on shadow bombs, launched with use of the Force, and therefore undetectable by ordinary sensors. Not Luke. He stayed on Kytus's tail, still pouring laser fire at the blur, as did Luke's wingmates. But a trio of Alliance starfighters, two XJ-7 X-wings and one of those ungainly, round-nosed Aleph starfighters, now harassed Kytus's pursuers. Some distance away, a red blip representing an enemy the size of a small transport was inbound. Its transceiver signal showed it to be the Love Commander. Beyond that, the Anakin Solo was also inbound. Kaidus nodded. He returned his attention to his flying. A moment's distraction now would kill him. But the end of this engagement was in sight. The Anakin Solo would arrive. Its turbo lasers and ion cannons would chase the Jedi away, and he could return to safety. Luke stayed on Jason's tail, but the situation was worsening. Senola Tai had dropped back to engage the enemy X-Wings and Aleph, but if their pilots were good, she couldn't hold them. And without the other two masters to help herd him, Jason would be able to turn back to the Anakin Solo. Luke had to finish this fight now. He opened himself further to the Force, hoping that it would give him insight not just into where Jason was, but also where he intended to be in the next second. Jason was not concealing himself in the Force now. He was with a little girl. Luke started. He took his thumb off the laser trigger and probed again. There was, in fact, a little girl in the cockpit with Jason. Her presence had been washed out by the hatred Jason was pouring into the Force, but now Jason was calming, and the little girl's distress made her a brighter presence. Luke's Stealth X shook. A quad laser blast from the pursuing Aleph had grazed him during his moment of surprise. Kill Jason. Kill an innocent. Luke veered away from his target and sent a nonverbal command for the other Jedi to form up on him. He felt their surprise and distress, but he made his intent stronger, insistent. The Stealth X's veered away toward empty space. The starfighters they had been dueling continued to chase them, but gave up after perhaps half a minute. They returned to surround Jason's TIE prototype, acting as his escort. Kaidus sagged as he gave way to exhaustion. He kept one hand on his control yoke, guiding the blur back toward the Anakin Solo, and used the other to hold Alana to him. She looked up at him, red-eyed, her tears unabated, hiccuping in her distress. "Colonel Solo to Starfighter Escort. Who's piloting the Twi?" A woman's voice came back immediately.
"Dancer One, sir."
"I mean your name."
"Yes, sir. Lieutenant Sial Antilles, sir. Off Blue Diver."
Kaidus grimaced. He'd been helped by the oldest daughter of an enemy. Yet another traitor to the Alliance. Still, he had always promised to reward loyalty and merit. And moments ago, he had decided to do just that for the Aleph pilot. "It's Captain Antilles now."
"Ah."
It wasn't so much a word as an exhalation. Kaidus couldn't tell whether she sounded more pleased or pained. Through the Force, she felt only shocked, though the other presence in the cockpit with her, doubtless her gunner, felt elated. Sial's voice was cool, professional.
"Thank you, sir."
"And be advised that the Stealth X pilot you chased off was a pretty good pilot himself. Antilles, you just sent Luke Skywalker into retreat." Ahead of him, space far in the distance behind the Anakin Solo, back in the vicinity of the capital ships, was suddenly transfixed by a column of light, kilometers wide, that twisted and writhed like something alive. Space curled and wrenched, as though a vengeful child were playing with the controls of a monitor, stretching and distorting everything in the middle third of the screen. Kaidus saw ships, silhouetted within the beam, elongate, as though they were being drawn into wire. Turbolaser fire curved impossibly. One blast bent back on itself, slamming into the shields of the cruiser that had fired it. ships contracted to tiny dots and disappeared entirely. With the brightness and distortion came a blow in the force. It hammered at Kytus, a vast, instantaneous loss of life. Alana's sobs cut off. She slumped in Kytus's lap, mercifully relieved of the burden of consciousness. Then space darkened and twisted back to its normal shape. Where once scores of ships had floated and fought, now there was only nothingness, or perhaps twisted wreckage, with no destructive beams or running lights to illuminate it. On the verge of distributing hyperspace coordinates for their first jump, Luke bent over as the wave of pain and dread hit him. It was far from enough to incapacitate him, but he could feel a resonating shock from the others in his battle meld. He put up a rear holocam view on his cockpit monitor. It showed the Anakin Solo and tiny flashes of the ever more distant main starfighter engagement, and emptiness where all the capital ships should be. Numbed, he considered options. Turn back to help? Help whom? With 6 stealth X's? Look for the cause, without a core of scientists or adequate sensory gear? Jason was alive. Luke could feel him. He could feel Leia, too, not far away, and Jaina and Zek. They were safe. Whatever had hit the region seemed to be an all-or-nothing attack, and it was done. Dry-mouthed, he activated his comm board and transmitted the jump route. Let's go. Proximity alarms screamed all across the Love Commander's bridge. Leia felt a yawning emptiness rise up to swallow her. She forced it back, saw Jaina turn toward her, pale-faced. It was like that day long ago when she had seen Alderaan destroyed. She hadn't known then that she was force-sensitive, hadn't realized that she was feeling the shock of those millions of deaths, as well as her own sense of loss and horror. This blow through the Force was much less severe, but her sensitivity to such things was much greater. She stood on shaky legs.
What just happened?
Han glanced between her and Jaina, then returned his attention to his sensors.
Something just appeared in back of us. In back of the... behind Colonel Solo's ship. Something huge, if its gravitic signature is any indication. Then it faded. The proximity alarms thought we were too near a planetary mass.
He looked again, gave a grunt of surprise.
The 2 task forces are gone.
Gone? Just... gone?
Just gone. Most of the starfighters are still out there, away from where the capital ships were.
Center point.
Jaina's voice was subdued.
That had to be center point station firing.
Yeah.
Han banked sharply to port and accelerated.
Colonel Solo's ship is behind us. Starfighters are headed our way from ahead. It's time to go.
Leia cast out with her feelings and picked up a strong presentment of Luke, a fading presence that was Jason. They were alive. In Jason's case, she felt both relief and dread.